The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kubale Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. Let's wake up in the den. I'm Kubale Ogbayani, right alongside Paul Brecht. Happy Aloha Monday. Hope everyone had a fun-filled weekend. There are a bunch of stuff going on, and there's a lot to get into today. And we got like NCAA March Madness in full effect going on. Now, the men don't play again till Thursday, but you still got women's basketball action, which we will get to as I'm sporting my Caitlin Clark t-shirt. Hey, yo.
Here.
New uniform in the studio, I guess you can say. A lot happening on campus at the University of Hawaii at Mauna. Most recently, nice walk-off win there for the University of Hawaii baseball team. 6-5 in 10 innings to get the series sweep over San Diego State, which we will talk about a little later in the show. Over at the Simplify Arena Stan Sheriff Center, though, was kind of a surprise on Saturday evening where the Rainbow Warriors fell to CSUN. That was kind of an interesting turn of events, but we will get to that, more details on that as well, and hear from head coach Charlie Wade coming up on the show and what he had to say following that loss to CSUN. And we should see a significant change in the NCAA, AVCA men's volleyball polls that usually come out around 9 o'clock, I believe, Hawaii time. I feel like it comes out every Monday after like the show
right
wraps
after
up.
We end.
Or like right before the top of the hour. So hopefully we can keep track of that because it'll be interesting to see how that changes with Hawaii losing to CSUN, who last week was ranked, I believe they were tied for 18th in the country, and Hawaii was sitting at number 2. So we'll get to all of that info. Also, you heard our Chaz Ontai say to at the top of the hour with the sports report, some NFL rule changes in terms of a specific tackle. I'm not going to lie. When I first like woke up this morning and saw the alert, I thought it said the hip hop tackle as I was still waking up out of my slumber. So the hip drop tackle and other interesting considerations when it comes to the kickoff for the NFL. Also, this is something we'll monitor because I don't think that there is a set time today, but apparently Shohei Ohtani is supposed to address the media sometime today regarding the gambling kerfuffle situation that they find themselves in along with the LA Dodgers, is what he told Athletic reporters following their series yesterday. So we will, I guess, keep our Twitter feed open to see if anything comes out there from Shohei Ohtani. So we'll see what he has to say. And it was confirmed by team representatives and his interim interpreter, Will Ireton, and public relations officials. So you know what's going to happen sooner or later. And I remember we were texting about this yesterday. We will keep an eye out for the Washington Post article, apparently, that is supposed to come out regarding the head coach of LSU women's basketball team, Kim Mulkey, because that was an interesting situation that we will also tell you about a little later in the show. That was a lot. I was like,
things
driving,
happen over the weekend.
I was driving here, jotting down my notes. I'm like, man, there are all of these things happening, and we got to try to touch on all of them to get things started. All right. Recap the weekend in college basketball. We'll start off with the men's side just because the game yesterday is so fresh in my mind, or last night's a crazy Houston game, 100-95 over Texas A&M, keeping all the number one seeds alive. That one, it was insane. Like the game tying three, I don't even know how he got open at the top of the key for that 3-point shot for A&M to tie it up, go into overtime. And then Houston at one point, I believe, because everyone got into foul trouble, we essentially were out 4 of their starters in overtime. And it was an interesting look of Houston basketball, considering that it's like one by one, each one started to fall out in the overtime period. But nonetheless, Houston escapes Texas A&M 100-95, as I mentioned, keeping all the number one seeds alive, even though I had Houston to be knocked out in this round, technically. So
Let's
now
go.
They move on. No, because they're still alive.
No, let's go because I have them as my champion, I think, in the HSRN bracket.
No, my champions are still alive, however, but nonetheless, yeah. This interesting one, one team that I do have alive and to go all the way to the Final Four is Marquette, who just squeaked by Colorado 81-77 and now go on to play NC State, which should be a very, very interesting game because just like Houston, I had NC State being knocked out quite a long time ago. So this is just not going that great for me in our men's basketball side of the bracket. I think I'm like somewhere at the bottom, but my max amount of points is still 1630 because I have my Final Four people are still alive. Speaking of Final Four favorites to make it, Purdue cruising their way in like past Utah State 106-67. UConn so far is the collective favorite. Everyone says that they are definitely the best team overall, but that's why they play the games and anything happens in the madness of March. But they had an easy win over Northwestern 75-58 yesterday. As I mentioned, Marquette, Duke over James Madison, another easy one, 93-55. Alabama, so this game was interesting because it was relatively competitive, but Alabama coming up over Grand Canyon 72-61, and then San Diego State, I believe now is the lone Mountain West school. I need to go back and look.
Yes.
That are remaining, considering that
they had six bids, and San Diego State continues to be the only one that carries them into the further rounds of the NCAA tournament. There's a lot of national people who probably owe the ACC an apology because the ACC has rolled through the NCAA tournament despite being told that it was down. The Big East, another one of those conferences. It's funny, the typical conferences that are typically good at basketball are doing well in the tournament. Plus, you have a couple of normal Cinderellas who get a win here or there. We've had a semi-normal March Madness. It's crazy. Who would have ever thought?
Semi-normal. I know, as I was mentioning to Paul right before we jumped on the air, I tried to be cute and have Nebraska going pretty far because I wanted my guy Tominaga to just be kind of like this storyline.
I wanted him to be the March
hero. Yeah, exactly. But then they never escaped Texas A&M in the first round. But it was relatively competitive game for the most part in that game, but nonetheless, that was one that I had picked that did not last. I do, however, the San Diego State one is interesting because that portion of the bracket, right, like Auburn was the team that everyone expected to go far. They got upset by the number 13 seed Yale 78-76 in the opening round. Then Yale moves on and their Cinderella story ends right there, where San Diego State beats them 85-57. But that's one of those situations, right, in basketball where you're thinking, and a lot of times in basketball, matchups make the game. I guess that's true in a lot of sports. And should Auburn had taken care of business like they were projected to against Yale, could we have seen a very, very different game with San Diego State and an Auburn matchup? Unfortunately, that's just speculative at this point because now, but that's where I take a look and you look back at some of these brackets and some of these upsets early on that, man, I think it would have been a very different ball game because, again, the Aztecs beat Yale 85-57, where I think if Auburn had made it in, it would have been a very different game. We'll see what happens with UConn and San Diego State, though. UConn so far cruising, as expected, with all number one overall seeds, because the way the brackets kind of get set up is that the number one overall seed has the easiest, for lack of a better term, way to the Final Four, how they kind of set things up. But still got to play the games. I still have UConn, though, to win it all. And I'm sticking with that.
UConn's filthy, man.
Yeah, it's like,
in the past 2 years, they've won now, I believe it's 7 NCAA tournament games, and I'm pretty sure every single one is by double digits. That's insane, because I just got done talking about, March Madness, like, we've had a semi-regular March Madness, blah, 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 blah. Even so, like, you get what we just saw yesterday with some really, really close matchups right until the very end. I mean, Houston, for God's sake, who a lot of people have upsetting, quote unquote, one seed versus one seed, upsetting UConn in the championship, you know, like, and that's a team that almost saw their season come to an end on the first weekend. It's This is all it takes is one bad game, but UConn, man, has not even looked close to having one bad game the past two tournaments. So San Diego State, tough task on their hands, but should be a fun game either way, especially considering it is a team that made it pretty far last year, huh?
Just a bit. You know. You know, just a bit. So that's good. It's going to be an exciting weekend coming up. If we take a look at the women's side, as I mentioned, Caitlin Clark in action later today. I think their game is at like 2 o'clock p.m., if I'm not mistaken, as I'm going through like this list of all of the games going on. But I'm doing a lot better in my women's bracket.
Good. Glad to hear that.
Like, okay, the men's. So it's funny, though, real quick in my men's bracket, though, there's one that, like, I accidentally made because I try to pride myself on making just one bracket. I don't fill out multiple. I just do one. And then that way, if and when it does well, I can just brag about how I only had one bracket and all that stuff. But this time, like, I clicked on a thing, and then when I was trying to join our group, and then it
was a little bit weird.
It was a thing. Yeah, they changed up the formatting this year, so I kind of got messed up. So I just had to retitle it as extra, and like I just set it and forget it. And then the bracket that I am using, you know, I go through and so of course the mistake bracket is doing a lot better than my bracket that I actually tried to predict stuff.
So
the men's side, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is not going anyway. But taking a look at the women's side, number one overall seed on that side, South Carolina, as expected as well, so far cruising. I mean, we talk about UConn winning by double digits. I mean, look at South Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, the first round,
91-39 over Presbyterian, 88-41 over North Carolina. A team that, I mean, yeah, they don't necessarily have the history that the men's North Carolina team has, but they're still a legit program with resources, you know, as opposed to a 16 seed in Presbyterian. And South Carolina just rolls 88-41. Oregon State beat Nebraska 61-51. So far in the women's side, as we said, a lot of the one seeds and the top seeds tend to make it through. There's not a lot of parity, but this will be interesting as you come down maybe to like, yeah, we get to the Elite Eight where, because, I mean, South Carolina, even though they've been dominant and they're undefeated, they've skinned by through, like, just
they've had a couple of games.
Couple of close call games, got into it with LSU, but there has been teams that took them right up until the end. So clearly they haven't been beatable yet, but they are beatable because it's just if one shot doesn't fall here or one shot doesn't go there, you get a foul call that comes your way or doesn't go your way. It'll be interesting to see, but USC looking pretty legit as well.
Shout out to Juju Watkins, by the way, who just set the single season record for both men's or women's college basketball at USC for most points in a single season. She's now scored 833 points in her freshman season, which I'm going to say that again, 833 points in her freshman season means she'll hit 1,000 points next year as a sophomore. Barring injury, knocking on wood, obviously, wishing the best health for her and all stars and all players in general. But what a year it's been for her. As soon as we see Caitlin Clark getting ready to go to the league, we have another
one. That's what I've been saying.
And then Paige, I do want to give a shout out to Paige Beckers, who has finally returned to the NCAA tournament after 2 years of a lot of injuries. And she was Caitlin Clark before Caitlin Clark in NCAA women's basketball over at UConn. And if you hear what Gino Auriemma says about her, she is an outstanding player. They also go today that game. There's a hell of a bracket or a hell of a lineup today for the women's side where you have Paige Beckers followed by Caitlin Clark followed by Juju. Like, that is your three straight games today. I'm getting my wisdom teeth out today. That's what I'll be checking out after I am out for the rest of the day.
I also want to give a shout out to Audi Crooks of Iowa State and that
beast.
That game, Stanford did escape them 87-81, but man, she was incredible, like just to watch and just her story. In the post game yesterday, she talked about, you know, she lost her dad when she was 16 years old and just talking about the inspiration there. But she'll be someone that's very fun to watch. Again, took Stanford to overtime. Stanford, though, coming out on top 87-81. But that was she was another one that I'm like, oh, you're just rooting for to have one of those stories throughout the tournament, because all the great names that you mentioned, like Caitlin, Paige, yeah, we're used to that. But then you love to see these stories of players that you weren't expecting, and she would have been she's going to be a fun story to follow throughout the years.
It's the nice part about March is that you get national notoriety for these programs, for these schools that don't necessarily play as many nationally televised games, mm-hmm. where a 7 seed of Iowa State can go up against a Stanford, where you have a Cameron Brink, where you have Kiki. I'm not going to say her last name because she scored 41 points last night, and I won't screw it up. But tell you what, like, that Stanford team is filthy, and Audie is going bar for bar, bucket mm-hmm. for bucket with each of them, and it's cool to see the stars that come out during March, because you're right. Now we get to see her next year. We get to look at her career going forward, and how many casual fans would have never heard about her?
More than casual, but still, nonetheless.
No,
yeah,
but,
this one.
But you're right, where it's like, even fans who pay attention to the sport but maybe aren't obsessed with it, mm-hmm. now they know about her. And that's just kind of the cool thing about March Madness, whether it's on the women's side, the men's side. Obviously, we saw Golkey there for Oakland picking up an NIL deal with Buffalo Wild Wings for a weekend. That was fun.
By the way, that's like my favorite commercial. I'm like obsessed with the Buffalo box out. Box out.
It's funny because when I watched it, I was like, man, Ku must love this. Maybe Ku designed this commercial. And then like to actually hear you bring it up unprompted is even funnier.
I get a kick out of it every single time. Because my dad actually just asked me yesterday, like, why do you love this commercial so much? I'm like, because it reminds me of my playing days and all your coaches would say, and I was like, even you, Dad, would say, box out, box out, box out every single time. And that's what I say now when I call basketball games. I'm like, why aren't they boxing out? So just to put like a little spin and a funny spin on the Buffalo commercial where the big Buffalo is trying to like box out little humans and like boxing them out.
There's
against
no trying. Just throwing those
I
little
people.
I laugh
at it every single time. I love it so much. On that note, got to step aside. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
DJ Pauly B, turn that music up. Woo. Box out.
Box out.
Box out. I'm sorry, you guys. I love that commercial so much. Oh, I hope some of you are laughing with me as much as I do at that commercial. It hasn't failed. Every time. And Buffalo Wild Wings is like one of like the main sponsors of the tournament. So the commercial is on like every single commercial break. I haven't gotten tired of it yet. I will watch that.
I find Buffalo Wild Wings puts out a lot of really good commercials in general, though.
Yeah.
Like, I find I enjoy many of their... Because even a few years back when they had the, they're controlling the games with the...
That was really smart.
Like, I thought that was fun. Yeah. Whoever their marketing team is, whoever writes their commercials, I give you kudos because it
only
is
their actual wings good. Were as good as their commercial self.
Yeah, beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, so at least they get creative on that standpoint because it definitely is not in the kitchen. Let me tell you that much. Anywho, box out.
Box out.
Boxing out and switching over to the NFL. The NFL's competition committee achieved one of two major objectives of the offseason today when NFL owners voted at the annual league meetings to ban the swivel hip drop tackle, or as I first saw this morning, the hip hop tackle, a technique that league officials have deemed a great threat to player safety. According to the agreed upon specific criteria of the now illegal technique, a swivel hip drop tackle takes place when a player grabs a runner with both hands and arms while attempting to make a tackle, unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips and or lower body, and then lands on and traps the runner's leg at or below the knee. I know it's something that we see quite often, and I know if you guys were to like Google it, you will know exactly what we mean. We see it all the time, and there has been more instances than once, including recently, where player injuries have taken place, because anytime you hear weight on top of someone's lower body or legs and your body goes the other way, is that results in injury. So such a tackle will result in a 15-yard penalty and an automatic first down. According to the NFL, if a player brings his opponent to the ground by performing the first two steps but lands off to the side and without swiveling around and landing on the legs or feet of his opponent, such a tackle would be deemed legal. So all three of those things have to be in play for it to be a penalty. And the technique has become more popular in recent years as players look to avoid using their helmets in tackles, which draws penalties, as we've seen, and increases the risk of concussions. Now, this will just be really interesting. So, again, those three things, if they tackle from behind and are able to avoid landing on any part of the lower body of the offensive player, no penalty. But I can imagine it'll get a little dicey towards the beginning of the season when these things start to happen.
I'm going to sit here. I know that people are going to hate me for this take. It's a bad rule. This is a bad rule change. I don't think it's a good rule change. I don't think players understand that they're doing it in the moment. Also, what are we supposed to do? It is a contact sport. It is a fast-moving sport where you think these guys... And at the top of their level, at the top of the sport, where you have the strongest, fastest guys out there, injuries are unfortunate. I will say that. But this is just another way for the officials to now come into the crosshairs of fans when they screw up. It's inevitable. They're going to screw up calling this rule. They're going to mess it up. And they're not going to go review it. And it's going to screw a team over. And it's probably going to be the Jets, and then I'm really going to be angry. But, no, I legitimately feel that this... I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to make the game safer. And to be totally fair, I'm glad that they are trying to do that. It's the right thing to do. But also, think about what you just... If a player tackling from behind... So if you get beat, player tackling from behind, yeah. You cannot land any bit.
I was going to say that's something
on the lower body.
I didn't really bring up in case people aren't familiar with exactly what the tackle is and you're not able to look it up right now. It basically is from behind. So if the player is trailing, and obviously you can't do a horse collar tackle. We know that's been a rule for a long time, as it should be. So now you just have to, try to tackle them, but make sure you don't land on the legs. And then you're going to have to almost do like what is that wrestling move where you...
A suplex?
Yeah. And then they're going to, like, and you can't do that either.
And that's a penalty as well.
Yeah, so it's like, how are you supposed to get anybody from behind?
That is my issue, and you've seen it in the NBA, and I'm glad that the NBA gave a directive to officials following the All-Star break this year to start allowing some more physical play, because in every sport, it feels like we see the offense gets every advantage. Offense, 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 offense. Mm-hmm. Guys... People want to see some defense, too. People want to see players actually allowed to play the game. And here is the most controversial thing that I'll say is, listen, we're moving towards banning football. Like, it's just, this is another step towards getting rid of football in general, tackle football in general. We can either play flag football or we can have tackle football, but this is another step towards moving to just flag football, in my opinion. I understand what they're doing. I understand they're trying to make the game safer. I appreciate that, especially considering, like you said, we've seen some injuries, especially recently, with these tackles. But also, you got to think about what you are asking players and the speed at which the game moves. Because now it's either, take a risk of getting penalized for a normal tackle, or let a guy go by you as soon as he's by you. Oh, well, he's gone by me. Now he's faster than me. I cannot tackle him.
Yeah.
So
I grab him by the horse collar. I can't wrap him around by the hips and pull him backwards. I can't do any of that stuff. Can't trip him.
Yeah. It is continuing to put the advantage in the hands of the offense. And at this point, I just don't think the offense needs any more help.
Mm-mm.
They don't.
Yeah, and then when you look at the stats, this is on The Athletic. So the league officials, they wanted to make this ban after observing 230 instances of the now illegal tackle during last season's game, but that averaged out to only about roughly one occurrence per game.
I was
going to
say, that's probably less than a...
Yeah, so one occurrence per game, and obviously not all of those occurrences resulted in an injury. I think there was, what, one season-ending injury, the one on the Ravens?
I remember Mark Andrews, and that's it. And even he, I think, ended up returning for the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, or at least had an opportunity to return should he or should they come close. You know what? I think they should ban sacking quarterbacks because that's how Aaron tore his Achilles. So, yeah.
More advantage to that.
No more sacking quarterbacks because that we have
Even
injuries.
Even that whole injury change was interesting because it's like you basically just can only push them.
And I think that's stupid too. Part of don't part
land
of playing
on
football.
You need to make sure you hold up your 250 to 350 pound body and not land on the player.
This is my biggest
ball.
Boomer take. If you play football, you are signing up for the fact that it is a brutal sport. I mean, how many times do I say in here it's a car crash on every play?
And I agree with you where it's like this tackle is, and especially if you look at the stats, it's up. The occurrence per game is actually up 65% from the 2022 season. But if you're talking about injuries, like it's literally your normal
players get injured on every single play.
Injury. It has nothing to do with the head. I'm very supportive of when they try to put in certain rules that protect the head, because when you look back at some of the replays on some of the hits that would take place, it's nasty. Like it's something
stupid
that,
to lead
like,
with your head.
Yeah.
I get that because it's hurting two different people with that, because brain injuries are things you can't even see.
Yep.
Whereas we can see, we can treat, we can get back. Brain injuries are something that you're going to experience into the later parts of your life after you've retired. I get why they ban those.
Exactly.
Why they try and get to be that. And I get trying to be healthier, trying to make the game safer. But also at some point, it's no longer the game. And that's where my issue lies.
We'll see what happens. Apparently, they're going to have videos, so it's like it received
also,
unanimous
refs
approval.
Are terrible.
Oh, I know.
Like
Give
just straight up,
to
refs are bad. So, we want another opportunity for officials to get involved into the game. The refs don't want to get involved in the game this much,
And that's part of the reason why the NFL Players Association, they expressed disappointment over the decision to outlaw the tackle because they're worried that about game officials' ability to correctly and consistently consistently is what is the big word and what we're so used to enforce such a tackle in such a fast-paced game, as Paul was saying. And the concern also involves how the rule change would lead to an increase in penalties and fines. So that's the part that bugs me, is when the actual players and the representatives that represent the players don't want the rule. Like, I don't understand why the owners are just like, let's just change it. It's unanimous. But then the players express their own concern. And because they know what they sign up for. Again, it has nothing to do with things that we see that can affect you for the rest of your life, like your brain injuries that you don't see in real time. But the players are like, that's a regular tackle. And I'm sure on the defensive side, like you said, like now you guys are just giving us all this opportunity to not make a play on defense. And then on top of that, as we've seen over time and time again, just the NFL officials having to catch, not catch, and all this stuff, and inbound, out of bound. And now you're going to have a tackle where if a player, the player looks like he's not going to or trying not to land on the player's legs. And maybe just so happened the offensive player, how they step, it ends up landing on him. And then you're like, but I was trying not to, and oh my gosh.
Also, here's the thing. You're changing. These guys have played football the same way their entire lives. Some of them are 30-plus years old. You are now asking them to change the way that they're going about tackles and think while they're trying to tackle out there. Like, I don't think people actually understand how much thought goes into every single play on a football field, where the amount of jobs you have to do, the amount of things that you have to keep track of while still doing the athletic feat that you're out there doing. I'm so sick. So sick of these owners. I'm sick of officials. I'm so sick of everybody doing stuff like this, because it's unbelievable, man.
And that's my biggest issue, is that it says right here that the players' union leaders weren't even offered input on the modification of the rule. So even more so. Like, if all the players were like, oh, yeah, we're totally in favor of this rule, then,
you know
what?
It actually affects.
People like you and I would have no choice but to be on board, because I'm like, okay, well, you know what? The players are for it. But to have our own opinion that it's a dumb rule change, and to hear that the NFLPA, they don't like the change either, or the fact that they had no input on the modification.
It's a thing.
It's just so, like, what are these owners doing? Like, I get, like...
Just talk to the people who play the actual game.
It's
crazy. It's
all about protecting their investments, that's why, and protecting the injuries,
And that's
sucks.
My biggest thing is, like, if that's truly the case, then we should switch all the...
I mean, that's the case for the quarterbacks.
We should switch all the fields to grass fields, because turf is
that's
scientifically proven to increase injuries yeah. with players.
Because that costs money.
Oh, wait. But I thought we were...
Money.
I thought we were taking
they can
care
just make
of our
this,
investments.
They can make this quote-unquote easy change and not have to spend any money making this change.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, it'll probably help them make more money, because then they'll end up playing or fining players, and then players have to pay money for a rule that they never agreed to take a part of. I'm going to get into a full rant if we let it keep going, because it is so... It's just stupid, but it's what we've come to expect from the owners.
Yeah. Anyways, we totally got to step aside. Here we go again on our rants about NFL.
That's why I said it.
I looked, this just like what happened last week. I looked at the time and it was like 8:30, and then I looked back and I'm like, oh, okay, all right. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Why you come and shoot down on a good vibe ready to flow? You keep on coming and coming, baby, please stop rocking my boat. Cause I'm ready to rock.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den alongside Paul Brecht. I'm Kuule Ogbayani. Got a little called up in the previous segment talking about the major NFL rule change. Now we're going to bring it back home for a second. Talk some University of Hawaii men's volleyball suffered a tough loss on Saturday to CSUN. Hawaii being ranked number 2 in the country at the time, and CSUN number 18. Again, new NCAA, VCA polls will come out later this morning. Set scores 25-23, 25-16, 22-25, and 25-21, which was, the surprising loss, to say the least. But before we kind of get through some of the stats and whatnot that happened, here is what head coach Charlie Wade had to say following the match. And of course, as he does always, star advertiser's Billy Hall kicks it off.
What was different about tonight for you guys?
Northridge played great. You know, they really did. Guys were jumping high and hitting hard all night. Their setter does a really good job. And their serve receive was better than ours. We got a little better, you know, in the third and fourth, third. But they were literally like falling and diving and putting balls right to the target and stuff. And yeah, you know, some nights are like that. They got some really good arms, the guys that can jump and hit. Like I said, their setter is really good. And they were good all night, and we were just okay. You know, we talk a lot about the number of errors we make and stuff. We were pretty medium. We were just like everybody else tonight. And just at the end, that we just made too many errors without, being able to outscore them.
Yeah. You went with Kevin there in the second set. It looked like you were really working on them. Was there something specifically you were wanting to see out of your setters in that second set that you weren't getting?
There was, isolating or getting Louie in some positions. You know, he had the advantage over the short setter for two of the three rotations most of the time, and they were kind of tracking our middles and just that chess game that we to play. And it was whatever 17-11 or whatever at that point. You know, we're just gonna go ahead and mix it up and let Tread sit back and take a look, and thought he responded well. Came out in the third set, obviously, and got Louie involved, and it was impressive. Mm-hmm. We're going to need more of that, obviously, going forward, because he has an ability to score against everybody, and we gotta find a way to get him the ball in situations where he can score.
Yeah. Lastly, for me, how would you just kind of assess the other two outsides tonight, Kimmy and Chaz?
Some good. Chaz, he's usually not the ace guy, and he had three aces early. He passed pretty well, but it's I think he was just kind of his regular, you know, maybe score some, didn't. He got, I think he was hitting 100 or whatever. We took him out, but we don't set him a whole ton anyway, you know. He hit that big well at the end in the fourth set after sitting cold for a while. They just made a really nice defensive play on it. And Keone looked like maybe Tred was pushing to him a little much, and he was early, especially a little too terminal, just swinging at balls, you know, without an approach into the block, and probably took a few errors that he shouldn't have.
Is there such a thing as, because that CSUN team tonight, like you talk about serve receive, they look like they could probably compete and or maybe beat anybody. Is there such a thing as just like, you know what, tonight, like, they had it. Like, they just absolutely had it.
For sure. And you saw that. I mean, that was evident. You're looking at the going, what is your record? Like, how do they? They played great. And I, look, I think some of it, that's a team, too, where, again, pretty veteran group, you know, guys. Hobus, I think, is one of these six-year guys, too, and they got a lot of guys that have been around for a long time. I got to think that's the first time they've beaten us in their careers, right? And you just get tired of losing, and coming in here and playing this, you know, it's the closest thing the NBA guys have ever seen. And, you know, they really, everybody plays good in this building, and a veteran team with a good setter, and guys, you know, 18 was a lot better tonight too. He struggled early on, and they were just going up and over, you know, hitting the ball high and hard. That's, game gets pretty simple at that point.
But you said something earlier in the week, too. It's almost like, you know, with what happened to Spiros, it's like, here's an opportunity for a team like that that hasn't beaten you in a while, in several years. And it's like, they're probably thinking, oh, if there's ever a time to try to catch Hawaii, now's the time.
I got
to
think everybody on our schedule going forward is thinking the same thing, you know, for sure. You don't lose a player like that, a legitimate player of the year candidate, and not come back to the pack. I mean, that's just the reality.
Team fought, though.
Yeah, I mean, you're giving up. Like, you know what I'm saying? It just, and you see it just kind of searching. It gets to that, like, okay, what now? Like, try that. The guy can score and then out or whatever. You know, it's just we got some work to do.
You know, you've been asked multiple times about set distribution. Tonight the middles, set three, had two swings. Set four, no swings. I mean, how are you feeling about Tred's and decision-making late?
Yeah, you know, and that is, they were in a full front almost the entire time, and we're just playing chess. Like, if we can move a guy over here and you follow him, it's like, we're going to go over here. Now, you know, it then becomes incumbent on the pin hitter to score. And you saw at the end, Alakai had one, Louis had. If we make that move and we get you one-on-one, you should score at a really high percentage. And when you hit it outline with one up, that's on you, not on the center. It was a good set. It was the right thing tactically. You know, if you're going to garner that much attention, then we'll use you as a decoy all night. It don't matter if we don't. If I could keep moving you into the slot, we're going to hit. We're going to score more with one on one. So that you've seen this many, many, many times. You just got to hit them in bounds and not out of bounds.
Keone came in that third set, kind of gave you guys some energy to talk about him.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, usually a pretty high-energy guy. He just, like you said, was a little too terminal. He at one point in there, I don't know when it ended, he had after the third set, he had 2.5 points and 7 errors. You know, the energy's great, but you need the production as well, you know. And like I said, a few of those swings kind of stuck, transition. Tred's just jacking it out there without approach, just swinging it, you know, into the net. You know, you'd like to see him just, okay, high off the top, something just a little more cerebral and a little less physical in some of those moments.
And that was UH men's volleyball head coach Charlie Wade following their 3-1 loss to CSUN on Saturday after they had beaten CSUN 3-1 on Friday. And this was the first time at home, or the first loss at home since that season opening series at Loyola Chicago, excuse me. In addition, UH suffered its first home loss to CSUN since 2013 and saw its 9-match win streak over the Matadors come to an end. It's so weird looking at the record now with the Rainbow Warriors sitting at 18-4 overall, but 1-3 in the Big West. with those losses to at Long Beach State, and then they won on Friday against CSUN, but then lost on Saturday. Luis Sakonoko led UH with 19 kills, hitting 324 with 9 digs and 3 blocks. 12 of his kills came in sets 2 and 3 while sparking the Rainbow Warriors' comeback after trailing the match 2-0. Alaka Itad added 12 kills, 4 digs, and 3 blocks. So, as you know, we kind of heard during that post-game there that without, you know, Spyros Hakas, any team truly believes that they will have a chance. I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't put it past every team to believe they have a chance. That's competitive sports, even when you have a potential, you know, player of the year candidate on your team. But in this situation, right, like knowing that that player is no longer there, even more so any players, especially coming to play at the Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center, knowing how the home crowd is, they still went into it believing that they can have a chance that they can win with the University of Hawaii being without Spyros Hakas for the remainder of the season. And UH has just a couple more matches. I can't believe we're here already. Just a couple more matches to go this weekend. And
season's
then the
flying.
It's over. Like, this is the last home series this past weekend against CSUN. And then this weekend against UC Santa Barbara. Saturday night is senior night already for this men's volleyball squad. They do have 4 games on the road to close out the conference season. And then, fortunately, we get to see them again, hopefully, in the Big West Conference tournament. And hopefully they do well at that point. But this is just figuring it out, because they looked really good. I mean, Luis Sakonoko and Keone Thim looked really good in that close loss, you know, that 5-set loss at Long Beach. And then you have a game like we just saw in CSUN where, like Charlie said, not taking anything away from CSUN, where
they just
came to play, they were good. You know, serve receive was phenomenal. Hawaii had 10 more errors than they did, and they just couldn't outscore them and dig themselves out of the hole of having all those errors. But that's how it's going to be this season.
It's figuring things out right now, and I think you put it pretty well, where it's just the case that they're in. You lose, and Charlie said it, you lose a National Player of the Year type caliber player in Spyros Hakas, and it's not just things are all dandy right on after. This is a young team, and you might look at the lineup and be like, there's a lot of experience out there in terms of upperclassmen. I mean, they're a young team in terms of not a lot of volleyball played at this highest level. You got to think about how many different people have graduated, how many different people are stepping into new roles mm-hmm. this year. Alaka Itad stepping into a massive role this year, and he's been great.
Yeah.
He's come in and produced from day one, finally getting his opportunity. But you also remember, you know, Eleu Choi enters the starting rotation. You put in a freshman in Tred Rosenthal.
17-year-old yeah. freshman. And true then, freshman.
Then you lose your floor captain, your true experience, your true leadership, your true voice, your heart, your soul. And you replace him with a Luis Sakonoko, who is uber talented, but also another one of those freshmen, another one of those young players who hasn't played at this level of volleyball. Because mm-hmm. I think Charlie either said it earlier this week or said it in one of the post games. The Big West is the cream of the crop when it comes to men's volleyball in college. And we saw that this past weekend, splitting a series against the 18th ranked team in the country and one of the lower ranked teams in the conference at this moment, doesn't mean that they can't beat you. It just means they play in a really, really good Big West.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens for the remainder of the season. Again, final 2 home matches, at least of the regular season, then they host the Big West Conference Tournament. But UC Santa Barbara this Friday and Saturday. And also, kind of to wrap up our local sports talk, I said it in the beginning of the show, but just want to give a quick shout out to the University of Hawaii baseball team. I mean, we spoke to Scott Robbs last week, and he just talked praises about how this team is so fun to watch and just has all this grit. I mean, 16 runs, you guys, on offense for the Basebows against San Diego State per game. So Friday, they scored 16, and they won 16-5. Saturday, 16-0 shutout over the Aztecs. And then yesterday, squeaking by, but nonetheless, a win is a win. Jordan Donahue with the walk-off, 6-5 in 10 innings to get the series sweep over San Diego State. So that's another one. And the Basebows are in action this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday against UC Irvine, which conference game, so that'll be fun.
It's going to be a fun one.
It'll be a fun one. We'll
fun
be there.
Few.
even Thursday, actually. Thursday is a special night, but we'll tell you about that more throughout the week. We'll be right back because we've got to take a break on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
It's Wake Up in the Den, Ku'ule Ogbayani and Paul Brecht. Put some time back on the clock.
No.
Rocking out and rolling through just this Monday. But as I mentioned, really at the beginning of the show, right on cue as we were talking about UH men's volleyball in the previous segment, the new AVCA-NVA National Collegiate Men's Volleyball poll is out for this week, and Hawaii has dropped to number 5. So they are the 5th-ranked team in the country now after losing to CSUN over the weekend. Splitting the series, but nonetheless a loss to an opponent that was ranked a lot lower than you. So Hawaii is at 5, Long Beach State at number 1, followed by UCLA, UC Irvine, Grand Canyon, and then Hawaii. And CSUN, our last opponent, is moved up a couple of spots to 16, as they should. Yeah, they beat a top opponent convincingly. So, moved up a little bit.
Good for them.
Yeah.
But also, I think that's a fair drop for Hawaii men's volleyball as well.
It is.
It doesn't take them out of the top 5, but also it shows them like, hey, you guys do need to figure it out a little bit. But also, this is the same team that just took the number 1 team in the country to 5 sets at the Pyramid just last week. So, or I guess now it's 2 weeks ago almost. But even so, like Charlie Wade said, following the Spiros Hakas injury, they have 5 weeks to figure it out. 2 weeks have passed by. They've dropped down a little bit, but we've also seen them start to figure out what works. And we've also seen certainly what doesn't work for the Bows right now.
Yeah, that must have been interesting with the committee because Grand Canyon, who Hawaii had swept, albeit they had Spiros at that time, but Grand Canyon is just ahead of Hawaii in that. So we'll see how
that's,
it goes.
So that's the line of demarcation for me as well, where I kind of look at it. I'm like, okay, that's and I think that's what the committee is saying as well. Exactly what you just said. Yeah, Hawaii beat them and swept them with Spiros Hakas, but now it's up to the Bows to prove once again that they are in fact a top 5 program, a top 3 program. And in this current moment, the committee didn't feel like they had seen enough to put them there. Yeah. And I think that is totally fair for this team that is figuring itself out with 3 weeks left in the regular season.
Yeah, and they will have that true test. So as we mentioned, UC Irvine moves up a spot from 4 to 3, and that is the game that changed everything this season, where Hawaii did beat them in 5 sets, but when it was match point is when we saw Spiros Hakas go down in that championship game in the Outrigger Volleyball Invitational. That doesn't seem that long ago, but Hawaii will go on the road and play UC Irvine next week, Friday and Saturday. So this will, got to get through Santa Barbara first, of course, close out your homestand and have a good senior night. But depending on how this weekend goes, next weekend will be a true test on where you will match up and how your outlook will be for the Big West Conference tournament, because you're going to play a team that you went to 5 sets with, but with your best player.
Yeah, with
for majority of the game. Yeah, so
it's crunch time for the Bows. I know I just mentioned 3 weeks left, but you do want to finish out the home schedule on the right foot. And I know you'll return back for the Big West Championships, but you want to come back with memories of winning 2 straight, not memories of splitting, not memories of faltering, not memories of anything else. So really big weekend coming up for the Rainbow Warriors before what is an even bigger final 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be crazy. All right. Anyways, coming up this week, though, opening day for the Seattle Mariners on Thursday, which you can listen to right here on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. We have not seen anything come through on the social networks about Shohei Ohtani, where he is expected to address the media today, but not answer any questions, just give a statement regarding the gambling or illegal gambling / transferring $4.5 million of money to an illegal gaming operation. So we will definitely monitor how that happens. But depending on what happens, we are taking the holiday tomorrow. I know everyone's going to be sad, but it is Prince Kuhio Day tomorrow. We're taking the holiday and wishing Paul Brecht all the best today as he undergoes getting his wisdom teeth pulled out. So we're going to relax tomorrow as he will be recovering.
Depending on how silly I look, maybe I'll post a picture for the beautiful people of my nice chipmunk cheeks.
Yay! But yes, we wish you all the best with that. It's been a long time since I've done that, but we got to go. For Paul Brecht, I'm Kule Agbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye!